Expelled from their land, Chapter 99. Did you ever see a candle burn until it went out and was completely burned away? Shortly before it burns out, the flame will flicker and burn brightly for a short time, but soon thereafter it is burnt away and the flame goes out. This is an example of Israel's experiences. Shortly before the kingdom of the ten tribes was demolished, it again lived in prosperity. This was during the reigns of Joash and Jeroboam II. These two kings were of the family of Jehu, isn't that right? They had defeated the Syrians, and once again the Israelites were free. We already have told you about this. The people continue to live in the greatest sins. The Lord sent his prophets to warn the people, but the Israelites did not and would not listen. After the death of Jeroboam II, the kingdom of the ten tribes fell away quickly. The Lord would not always warn them. There comes a time when he no longer warns. Then it is too late. Zechariah was the last king of the family of Jehu. He only reigned 6 months when he was murdered by Shallum, one of his army officers. I cannot tell you anything else about Shallum. He reigned 1 month. He too was murdered by Menahem. Terrible, wasn't it? Murder and slaying prevailed in the kingdom of the ten tribes. This was the result of the Israelites forsaking the Lord, the result of sin. Menahem was a murderer and a cruel man. He was a murderer because he slew Shallum. And do you know why he was a cruel man? No? Listen. When he and his army marched to Samaria, he came to a city, the gates of which the people would not open for him. The inhabitants of this city thought, "We do not want to recognize Menahem as our king." But after Menahem murdered King Shallum, he returned with his army to this disobedient city. His heart was filled with revenge. The city was conquered by him, and he avenged himself with much blood. All the men and boys were slain, and the women and small children were ripped to pieces by him and his soldiers. Wasn't this cruel and brutish? He reigned over Israel 10 years. The Lord patiently spared him for 10 years, but Menahem would not serve the Lord. He worshipped the golden calves of Dan and Bethel. He was an ungodly king. During his reign, the king of Assyria came to the land of Canaan with a mighty army. This king's name was Pul. Oh, Menahem was terribly afraid. What must he do? Defend himself? Fight? Alas, no, he cannot, for he would surely be defeated. Do you know what? He will try to become good friends with Pul. He sends a message to the Assyrian king and gives him a large sum of money. Pul receives this from him and returns with his army to his own land. Menahem sighs a sigh of gladness and relief. He has been successful. But bending his knees and asking advice of the Lord, oh no, Menahem will not do that. He will help himself. He will deliver himself. He is an enemy of the Lord. He reigned 10 years and then died. He would not turn from his evil ways during his life. When he died, it was too late. Forever too late. O children, seek the Lord in your youthful days. Do not wait until you are old, for death always comes unexpectedly, and besides, you do not know whether or not you will become old. Putting it off is always very dangerous. After the death of Menahem, Pekahiah, his son, became king. He also worshipped the golden calves of Dan and Bethel. He reigned a short time, only 2 years. One day, a small troop of soldiers come storming into the royal palace of Pekahiah. Their swords are held tightly in their hands. An officer runs ahead, leading the way. What do these men want? What are they going to do? Look at them. They go into the chamber where the throne is. Pekahiah is sitting upon it. With angry, threatening eyes, they come upon him. They are going to murder him. He cannot escape. Neither can he defend himself. Pekahiah, the king of Israel, soon lies dead upon the ground. This officer becomes king in his place. Who is this officer? He is Pekah. Israel has another king. How long will he reign? Will he be king for only a few months or a few years? No, Pekah remains upon the throne longer than many others. He sat upon the throne of Israel for 20 years. He didn't have much success and prosperity in his life. Why not? What was the reason? The reason for all this misery is that Pekah also is a wicked king. He worshipped the golden calves of Dan and Bethel too. Each year, Pekah must give a present to the king of Assyria. He really is a servant of Assyria. Assyria continually becomes mightier. Again and again their kings wage war against the surrounding nations, and every time they obtain the victory. Do you know what they do with those conquered nations? They are carried away from their own country. Those people are taken by the Assyrian kings and brought into the land of Assyria. Pekah is afraid, and that either today or tomorrow his people, the Israelites, will be carried away. He thinks, if only I could defeat the Assyrians, if only I could win my freedom by fighting. But no, Assyria is too strong. Pekah cannot fight against this mighty enemy alone. If he only had continued to obey and serve the king of Assyria, things would have remained as they were. However, he does not do that. No. Now you must be very attentive. He enters into an agreement with Syria. Syria was always the greatest enemy of the Israelites during the reigns of Ahab, Jehu, and Jehu's sons. Isn't that right? But Pekah makes an alliance with Syria. He becomes a friend of the Syrians. Together they will try to hold Assyria back. In those days, Rezin, the king, reigned over Syria. Pekah, the king of Israel, and Rezin, the king of Syria, become good friends with each other. They will help each other. Pekah will call the Israelites together, and Rezin will call the Syrians together. These two armies, as faithful friends, will fight against the Assyrian army. I know this is a little difficult for you, children, but try to remember some of it. Still, these two kings are not at ease. They think we ought to have more help. But who can help us? In those days, the wicked king Ahaz reigned over Judah. Later you will hear more about this. Pekah, the king of Israel, sends a message to Ahaz, the king of Judah. He asks him if he would like to go with them. Then they will have three armies. The army of Judah would come to help the other two armies. Probably they will be successful in defeating Assyria. But Ahaz says to the messenger, "No, I will not do it. I do not want to help. I will not go along." Pekah becomes angry. He says, "Ahaz must help. If he will not do it willingly, we will force him to do it." He marches with his army to Judah, and the army of Ahaz is completely defeated. 120,000 soldiers of Ahaz are slain, and 200,000 women and children are carried away captive out of Judah. Rezin, the king of Syria, and his soldiers fall upon Judah too. Ahaz becomes afraid. The situation looks very poor for him. He sends a message to Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, and tells him the plans of Pekah and Rezin. By this means, Ahaz warns Tiglath-Pileser. Immediately, the Assyrian king musters his army and falls against the kingdom of Syria. Pekah, the king of Israel, is not able to help his friends so quickly. The Syrian army is defeated and Damascus, the capital of Syria, is taken. Rezin, the king of Syria, is slain, and the Syrian people are carried away captive into Assyria. Oh, upon hearing this, Pekah is filled with fear. Now he stands all alone. No one can help him. And indeed, Tiglath-Pileser is very angry with Pekah. He thinks, "I will get you." From Syria, the king of Assyria continues his march and comes into the land of Canaan. The country on the other side Jordan is conquered. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh are carried away captive into Assyria. Yes, Tiglath-Pileser even crosses Jordan, and the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun are carried away captive too. Men, women, and children must go. 4 1/2 tribes go into exile. The other tribes of the kingdom of Israel become angry with Pekah. They blame their king for all this misery. Shortly after this, Pekah is murdered by Hoshea. Look at that. Thousands of people walk on the roads in the land of Canaan. It is a long, long line. Men and women, boys and girls, and even gray-haired people walk laboriously forward. No laughter is heard, but everyone looks unhappy. Many are crying. They walk on and on with bowed heads. Who are they? Where are they going? They are Israelites on the way to Assyria. Oh, what must they do there? They are not going on a pleasure trip. Neither are they going willingly. No, they must go. They are forced. Forced? By whom? Don't you see all those soldiers who are walking on the side of the Israelites? They are foreign soldiers, Assyrians. These soldiers are heavily armed. Their sharp swords glitter in the sunlight. Besides, iron chariots ride before and behind this procession. The Israelites do not carry any weapons. They have no swords or spears. Neither do they have any iron battle wagons. They have nothing. They are prisoners. They are driven along like a flock of sheep. What would happen if they refused to walk further? Alas, they dare not refuse, for the Assyrian soldiers would hit, kick, and maltreat them. Yes, probably the Assyrians would even slay them. No, no, they dare not stand still. They walk onward with sluggish steps and distressed faces. The Assyrians have taken the Israelites from their homes. They had to leave everything behind, and they were not allowed to take a thing with them. Now they are on the way to that far country. They have cast their last glances upon their homes and their farms. Oh, they could cry aloud from sorrow and grief. But what has happened? How did this come about? You know that Hoshea murdered Pekah, after which Hoshea himself became king. But he was not a free king. Oh no, he really was a servant to the king of Assyria. He must do what the Assyrian king commands him. He must obey the Assyrian king in all matters. Hoshea did this for 6 years. During these 6 years, all things went well. But then he thought, I do not want to serve the Assyrians any longer. I want to be free. I want to be master in my own country. He rebelled against the Assyrian king Shalmaneser. Tiglath-Pileser, the former king of Assyria, had died, and Shalmaneser became the new king. Hoshea would not have anything to do with Shalmaneser. Hoshea made an alliance with the king of Egypt and asked this king to help him. But alas, Egypt was so far away. If only he had prayed to God for help. But he would not do that. He didn't need the Lord, but he put his trust in Egypt. Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, heard that Hoshea would no longer serve him. He was infuriated. He comes into the land of Canaan with a mighty army and lays siege around Samaria, the capital. For 3 years, Hoshea defended himself courageously. He had hoped that the king of Egypt would come to deliver him. But the Egyptians did not come. Finally, the city of Samaria was captured. Now all the people must go with the Assyrians. From every city and town, the Israelites are taken from their homes. Only the very poorest, those who lived in the open fields, were allowed to remain, but the others must go along. There they walk, and all this misery is their own fault. This is because they had forsaken God. This is because they had worshipped idols. The Lord was patient with them for a long time. But when nothing availed, and the Israelites would not serve the Lord, this punishment came. They were taken away as prisoners. Finally, they come to the border of their beloved fatherland. They gladly would have returned, but they are not permitted. They must go forward, continually forward. They leave their native country in this sad condition. They are driven out of their own land and will never return to it again. Other people, who are heathens, come and live in the city of Samaria and throughout the kingdom of the 10 tribes. These new foreign inhabitants establish themselves among the few poor Israelite farmers who were allowed to remain in their land. They finally become good friends with each other. Yes, the friendship became so close that the Jewish girls married the heathen boys, and the Jewish boys married the heathen girls. The children from these marriages were later called Samaritans. Remember this name, boys and girls, because later we will speak about the Samaritans many times. This is a difficult chapter, children. There are so many strange and difficult names in it. You hardly can remember them. Do you know what you ought to do? Read this chapter over two or three times, and you probably will remember more of it. The history of the kingdom of the 10 tribes is finished. 19 kings reigned over that kingdom, but there was not one God-fearing sovereign among them. They worshipped the golden calves of Dan and Bethel, or they worshipped the idols of the heathen which lived around them. Ahab and Ahaziah worshipped Baal, didn't they? The consequences were pitiful for these people. And who was to blame? Was the Lord the cause of all their misery? Oh no, indeed not. It was their own fault. The Lord was patient with them for many generations. The Lord blessed them in spite of their grievous sins. The Lord warned them through the means of his servants, the prophets. But the Israelites would not listen. They resisted the warnings which God sent them. Finally, they are driven out of their land as the punishment for their wickedness, and they are led captive into Assyria. That is the dreadful end of the kingdom of the 10 tribes. And what shall be the end of our nation if the people of our land continue to live in sin, boys and girls?